The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Advertising Corporation and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Reoccurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found in his Washington Times column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for The Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you think religion is responsible for most of the evils in the world. Well, I'm going to challenge that depressing idea in just a few minutes, but most of the show will not be depressing because today we are going through just a few news events and then we're taking a break from the news for a special celebration. And I'm even willing to tell you what we're celebrating. You ready? We're celebrating Christmas. But keep it under your hat, will ya? No, we're not celebrating the winter solstice. We are celebrating Christmas and celebrating it with music. As you've noticed by now, we are not just a talk show. Often we feature music, either for parody purposes or just because we like music. But what musical artist could you possibly enjoy more than Lori Lewis, that talented multitasker who not only composes and sings, she sells jewelry, she slices, she dices, she assists me once a month as co-host. Lori, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's good to be here, Mr. Bob, the monoblog guy.
Lori learned a new word this week, everybody. Monoblog. No, you invented the word.
I invented
actually.
The word monoblog.
I have been blogging my brains out, but my blog is number 5 now in the KCBQTownHall.com.
Well, you definitely have something to toot your horn about. Congratulations.
It sounds better when you toot the horn for me. Oh. It made me sound humble.
You're such a humble.
You just keep bringing those things up, and we'll pretend I didn't bring
them up myself. Soft-spoken person.
Okay. Well, you have a guest. Tell us a little bit about her.
I do. Well, you know, you're talking about Lori Lewis, this great musician here, but I am so excited about my friend. She is very special. Sylvia Lang is here with us today, and I will tell you a little bit about her.
And there's a very well-known, famous Christmas carol that she's associated with.
But we're not going to tell everybody.
Oh, you're playing the Always Leave the Morning More
thing. I like that.
Thing.
Yeah, you know, okay, I'm doing the Ryan Seacrest thing after this break.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing Sylvia in just a few minutes. First, some of the latest news. And Lori, you'll like this news event because it's about Christmas. This will surprise you. Now, hold on to your seat. Sales clerks are actually saying Merry Christmas again. Did you ever think you'd live to see the day? And nevertheless, I don't think we'll experience the complete eradication of this nonsense about seasonal greetings anytime soon. There are still plenty of talking heads on TV and radio who tell us that the phrase Happy Holiday is less offensive and more inclusive. Honestly, we have turned into a nation of spoiled, bratty, whiny little children who think our Constitution exists to protect us from ever being offended. As a matter of fact, the Constitution says quite the opposite. Why does the First Amendment protect free speech? Because our forefathers knew that speech can offend. Think for a moment. If no one were ever going to be offended, there would be no reason for creating such an amendment. I grew up Jewish and did not convert to Christianity until I was almost 20 years old in my second year of college. As a child, I celebrated Hanukkah, not Christmas. Never did the phrase Merry Christmas bother me. I loved Christmas. It was my favorite time of the year. I loved the parties. I loved the lights. And I especially loved getting 2 weeks off from school for Christmas vacation. Yeah, they actually called it Christmas vacation back in those days, maybe because they knew that's what it really was, so they figured they might as well just speak the truth. By the way, have you noticed that those who protest Christmas don't seem too offended when they are allowed to take time off from school or work? And I'll just bet nobody refuses their Christmas bonus. But back to Bob, the untroubled Christmas time child. I also loved singing Christmas carols. The music was pretty, even though the lyrics were confusing. I really didn't understand much of what we were singing about or how some baby in a manger could bring about peace on earth. Neither did I understand exactly what a manger manger was. I did know that Jesus was supposedly the Son of God, whatever that meant. But I didn't believe in God, and I thought anyone who accepted the Bible was an idiot. Still, if somebody wanted to be an idiot, it was no skin off my back. Never did I feel that any kinds of rights were being violated. Nobody was forcing me to believe in Jesus or sing about Jesus. It was simply a non-issue. I'm convinced that it's a non-issue today as well, at least for most people, probably well over 98%. Have you ever been to Disneyland around Christmas time? The place is packed like a sardine can. People come in the thousands after thousands, day after day. I doubt that they are all Christians. Instead, they are people who realize our Constitution guarantees religion as a matter of choice. It does not guarantee that religion will never be mentioned in your presence or that your eyes will be shielded from manger scenes and decorations. But try explaining this to the politically correct elite loudmouths who are looking for activist judges to prove that old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. This is especially true at our public schools. Now, kids, we're going to take some time off from school. It's for a holiday, but please make sure you don't mention what the holiday is, because some celebrate other holidays, and some just celebrate the fact that it's winter. Yeah, that's why we take a few weeks off every year to celebrate winter. Right, sure. Now I'll tell one. And even so, wouldn't that be discriminatory? We are leaving out after all three other seasons. Supposing somebody wants to celebrate autumn. Okay, we do have spring break, but that was also made up as a smoke and mirror to hide the fact that it was really Easter. Incidentally, how much longer will it be before the ACLU figures out that the word holiday means holy day? Which holy day are we talking about? Sometime in the future, the term holy will probably be dropped as well. What will we be left with then? Happy winter? What if the person is offended by snow and cold and feels his civil liberties are being violated? How about happy day? This is also a problem because you might be talking to somebody who prefers night. Or you might be talking to a foreigner whose family lives on the other side of the world and he is offended because he knows that in his country it was nighttime when you use the word day. All right, maybe we can just say happy, but that offends somebody who might be sad. Hey, I have an idea. Maybe we can just say Merry Christmas. And if a person claims to be offended, we just ask them to grow up. Let's not let the tail wag the dog anymore. Why should the five people in our country who don't like Christmas ruin it for the rest of us? Just tell them to compose themselves. They'll need some composure when they return home and go to bed. Jacob Marley and his three spirits might just be waiting for them. But the real war isn't against Christmas. It's against what Christmas represents. It's against Christianity itself. Have you heard the latest? Have you heard? You're going to love this one. They now have a sign up in Connecticut which says 9/11 was caused by religion. Not that the sign is anything new. Atheist literature for years has been claiming that religion in general, and Christianity more specifically, is responsible for most of the evil in the world. When it's pointed out that 9/11 was created by Muslims, the quick canned response is that Islam should not be singled out. After all, the true problem here is with any fundamentalist religion, of which Islam is only one, and Christianity is even worse. So in a way, 9/11 can kind of, sort of, be blamed on Christianity, or at least something very much like Christianity. And even when it's pointed out that some of the worst evils in history were done by godless socialist governments like Nazi Germany or communist Russia, the words Hitler was a Christian bounce back like rolled up silly putty. Okay, let's get this nonsense cleared up once and for all. First, Hitler was not a Christian. I am so tired of listening to such baloney. Don't let anyone get away with this. The person who spews forth such dogma is either displaying his dishonesty or his incredible, incredible ignorance. Yes, Hitler was born into a Catholic family, but he had long since renounced his religious upbringings by the time he became Chancellor of Germany. Hitler considered himself to be a pantheist and fan of Friedrich Nietzsche, the philosopher famous for the God is Dead poem. Hitler also referred to Jesus as the illegitimate son of a Roman soldier. There's another word for that, but I won't say it over the air. Now, you still want to make him into a Christian? With a resume like that, the stretch is not limited to Nazism, but communism as well. Christopher Hitchens, a man who I like, a very intelligent man with whom I agree on so many political matters, but who hates religion with a passion, was asked over the air by Hugh Hewitt how he could defend the statement that religion caused more evil than atheistic philosophies. As an example, Hewitt pointed out the butcheries of Joseph Stalin, follower of the godless Marxist ideal with power, to put it into practice. Hitchens responded, and you're going to love this, he responded by saying that Stalin would not have done such a thing had he not learned from the example in history of Russian czars who worked closely with the Russian Orthodox Church. Good one, Hitchens. I hesitate to even grace such a maneuver with a response, but Hitchens, maybe you'll consider a blatantly obvious example from me, a man who is a kindred political spirit, even if we are not kindred religious spirits. Would you, as a thinking conservative, dismiss the lies of Bill Clinton if some Democratic pundit claimed that Clinton was inspired by Nixon? As for there being no moral difference between Muslims and Christians, I believe I can think of one, and it's a significant one. Jesus did not order Christians to kill in his name and conquer the world for his kingdom. He did not command us to execute all people who will not convert to Christianity. Muhammad did command such things in the name of Islam. I know, I've heard it a million times. Christians and Muslims both fought in the Crusades. Give it a rest. Putting aside the fact that Christians were trying to take back land that had forcefully been stolen by the Muslims, let me at least concede that the Crusades were nothing for Christians to brag about. They were far too preoccupied with the Holy Land, and they made the mistake of thinking that the cause of Christ was enhanced by such geography. There were also many soldiers in those days who saw the Crusades as a license to plunder and butcher, using Christianity as a rationalization. But let's face it, all ideologies get misrepresented. It is the ideology itself which must be critiqued. What then is the difference between the Christians who fought in the Crusades and Muslims who fought in the Crusades? The difference is quite simple. Christians were doing this in disobedience to Jesus. Muslims were doing this in obedience to Muhammad. And I consider that a significant difference. I will admit to much hypocrisy from churches done in the name of Jesus through disobedience to Jesus. But what about the times Jesus is obeyed? Nobody wants to talk about that anymore. You still want to make that Christianity is just as bad for the world as Islam? How about the fact that most of the abolitionists in America and England were Christians? Christians essentially ended slavery. How about the fact that once upon a time in America, we needed no government welfare organizations because the church was taking care of the poor, the orphan, the widow, and the elderly? How about the countless churches who do the same thing today? How about the YMCA and the Rescue Mission and the Salvation Army? But I must admit, the compassion of Christians in America can't compare to pinnacles of virtue like Saudi Arabia, Iran, Syria, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, and church history is put to shame when we look at the humane examples of secular leaders like Stalin, Castro, and Hitler. Yes, sweet Virginia, Christianity is the terror of the world. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, and welcome in the beautiful music of Lori Lewis.
Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Last year, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. For Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. Comfort and joy.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show on News Talk 1170 KCBQ. I'm joined with my co-host, Lori Lewis. And Lori, you have another musician here with us today. You've been hearing, and you're going to continue to hear, some of Lori's music as bumper music. But we also have a featured guest, Lori. She's a good friend of yours, so I will let you introduce her.
This woman I met a couple of years ago, and we just hit it off. She is so wonderful.
Well, everybody hits it off with you. That's nothing new. Tell us something we don't
okay.
know.
Well, she's a gifted singer, and I remember when she first gave me her card, it was just kind of really neat with her picture, and it was a speaker who sings and a singer who speaks. Was that right, Sylvia?
That's right.
And Sylvia has quite an amazing background. She is a contemporary group member of Crimson Bridge. I said that really backwards. She is a member of the contemporary group Crimson Bridge, and she's also toured and shared the stage with great artists and speakers. Beth Moore, one of my very favorites. Sandy Patty, who is just an amazing. What was that like being on tour with Sandy Patty?
Humbling.
Yes, I would imagine.
An honor.
And you know what? Sylvia Lang is just really neat. I've had a chance to sing together with her at one time. We did some worship together, but just hand it over to Sylvia, Bob. Come on.
Sylvia, it is an honor to have you on our program. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Especially during the Christmas season when you must be very busy and you probably got other things to do. Now, tell us a little bit about your background, what made you love music, and what made you love Jesus.
Well, I grew up in a musical family right here in San Diego. But when I went away to school, I chose a career in business.
And what school did you go away to?
I went to Loma Linda University
okay.
at Riverside.
Okay.
And then I went on to get a graduate degree in business and pursued for about 20 years a career in business in various aspects of different industries. But music was always kind of in the background of my life in one way, shape, or form. I sang as a hobby. I had an opportunity when I lived in Los Angeles for many years to do a lot of session work. I got to tour with some fun people in my spare time, in my off time. But music was never a full-time gig for me until 7 years ago.
And music is now your full-time career?
Music is my full-time career.
And you're a published artist with several CDs out, I assume?
That's right. I have 3 solo albums and have participated in 2 albums with a group that I'm a member of called Crimson Bridge.
Now, do you sing exclusively Christian songs or do you sing a variety of music?
I do exclusively Christian songs. I figure at this stage of life, I have a message that I want to say. And the only message that I think is of any importance is about my relationship with God and how I think He can change lives.
So you don't see anything wrong with Christian artists singing other songs. It's just that in your particular case, you're saying life's short, and this is what God has called me to do.
Life is short. This is what I feel I'm asked to do at this stage of life. But no, I love it when Christian artists are in the secular world. I think it's tremendous.
Wonderful. Now, there is a song that we kind of teased our audience with before we went to the break. Tell us the name of this. Okay, we are now going to reveal the name of that Christmas carol.
Drum roll,
please.
Song. Well, Christmas time, there's nothing that gets me in the mood quicker to be in the Christmas spirit than music. And one of my favorite songs is apparently the second most favorite song of America.
It is.
Number 2 on the Billboard charts, my understanding, at Christmas time. And it's called Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. What's fun about that song is it was written by a man that I call Uncle Hugh. Uncle Hugh has been in our family for over 30 years. And in his day, in the 40s, he was a very prolific Broadway songwriter, having written many shows that premiered on Broadway and still run.
What kind of shows has he written? This is very interesting.
Well,
I'm a big musical, Broadway musical lover myself.
Well, his most famous show probably would be a Judy Garland show that turned into a movie that was produced by MGM called Meet Me in St. Louis.
Oh, my goodness. With the clang, clang, clang goes
clang,
the trolley
clang, clang
song.
Clang, clang, with the trolley and the boy next door.
And he wrote the songs to that?
He did. He and his songwriting partner in that day, Ralph Blaine, wrote the score for that musical and many
others.
Now, is
he still around or is he passed
on?
He's
still alive? No.
Oh, well, then let's get him on our show. Can he still talk? Can he still move?
He can still talk. He's amazing.
You're terrible.
All right. Well,
he's amazing.
Well, I'm sure people will ask if I can still move when I move on in years.
Hey, Uncle Hugh can outmove and outthink any of us in this room.
Well, it's been nice talking to you, Sylvia. That was Sylvia. We're going to bring Uncle Hugh on for the rest of the show. No. Well, seriously, we'd love to have him. What an honor.
He's amazing. He's going to be 94 on his next birthday, and the man is still writing songs. He just finished yet another musical called The Member of the Wedding, and he's sharp as a tack.
Well, I'm familiar with the play, the non-musical version of Member of the Wedding.
He has musicalized it, if that's a word.
Everything gets musicalized.
Yeah, you're not the only one making up words
today.
Soon
it's going to be Iran, the musical. You know, everything gets
We make up words here.
So this was your favorite uncle growing up?
This man is just such an amazing guy. He is such a great testament to me that age is just a number. It's all a matter of perspective and how we choose to look at our life. And at 90, almost 94, the man is as passionate and alive as a person could be.
Now, did he live here in San Diego while you were growing up, or did he live in New York or
Hollywood? He was raised in the South, and he was raised in Birmingham, Alabama, and he went to New York as a young man. He entered a songwriting competition, had never written a song before in his life, won, and within a matter of very short time, he was one of the first call writers in that day. He became a contract writer for MGM Studios in Hollywood for years, but he was most known for the works that he put on Broadway.
Boy, the classic MGM musicals. Okay, now this song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, you rewrote part of it yourself.
I wish I could take credit for it. Actually, I didn't, but Uncle Hugh became a Christian later in his life. When he was in his 60s, he found himself in the hospital with a roommate who was a preacher, and that preacher told him about a God that he'd never heard about before that was real and authentic, and he made a decision to follow Jesus Christ that day in his hospital room, and his life changed from that moment on. Several years later, he and a friend, John Fricke, decided to rewrite the words of his own classic song.
And they changed it to Have Yourself a Blessed Little
Christmas.
But you've done a recording of this.
I have. I took Uncle Hugh himself in the studio, and the song we're about to hear is actually Uncle Hugh playing in that old Broadway style.
This is Sylvia Lang singing for Uncle Hugh. Very familiar, but it'll be Have Yourself a Blessed Little Christmas.
Christmas future is far away. Christmas past is past. Christmas present is here to stay, bringing joy that will last. Have yourself a blessed little Christmas. Christ the King is born. Let your voices ring upon this happy morn. Have yourself a blessed little Christmas. Send the carol song.
hosannas, hymns, and hallelujahs, as to him we bow.
Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel and Lori Lewis, and our guest today, Sylvia Lang, whose uncle wrote that famous song that Mel Torme, of course, amongst other artists, made famous, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And those of you that were just listening heard quite a treat. We heard the rewriting of that song and a new recording of it, Have Yourself a Blessed Little Christmas. And Sylvia, I loved that new version. I have to tell you, I liked it as it was before, too. So I certainly didn't feel it had to be rewritten. However, that was a very unique, very beautiful, and you have just a fantastic voice.
Well, thank you.
Now, we had started talking a little bit about your Christian testimony, and let's hear more about that. Now, exactly how did you become a Christian?
Well, I was raised in a religious home and had the religious stuff down real clear. I was very good at being a religious girl for many, many years. And it wasn't until about 8.5 years ago that I finally began to understand the difference between being religious and truly having a relationship with God that meant something, that was real in a touch it, taste it, feel it kind of way. I found myself in a lifestyle that on the outside looked really good. I was running a multi-million dollar company. I had chosen a career in business. And drove the right car, lived in a great house. This was up in Los Angeles at the time. Vacationed at all the right places, did all the right things, but inside was dying inside, had a hole inside of me the size of this room.
It was a big one. We're in a pretty big room right now.
It was a pretty big hole. And I tried to fill it with everything I knew how. I tried to fill it with accomplishment, and that didn't work. I tried to fill it with men. That certainly didn't work, as every man of the month came and went. And
but I believe you told us during the break that you're married to a perfect man.
I am married to a pretty close to perfect man.
No, she's not talking about
man.
Jesus. There's another perfect man, and his name is Wolf?
His name is Wolf. You'd marry a guy named Wolf, wouldn't you, Lori? Wolf.
Wolf is a sweet man.
He's a sweet man.
And when you saw him and met him, did you go, Wolf?
I just said, that's the guy for me.
And he hasn't disappointed you yet?
Not one
time. How many years have you and Wolf been married?
We're going on 7 years. I was an older bride. I was 41 when I got married for the first time. I was so busy trying to make something of myself, that there was no room for another person in my life. That hole that I talked about was really taking up all the space. Another thing I tried to fill up that hole, because it was awful living like that, was I tried church. That was kind of an ironic twist to my story because I had left church for years before that. And back in the late 80s, early 90s, I found myself back in church again and realized that it was just another place that I could go look good. I mean, let's face it, people who go to church, we see each other once a week, maybe twice a week if we're involved in something. I can't think of a better place to go look good than church.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting because to become a Christian, we must be blatantly honest about our sin. But then when we start going to church in time, we feel intimidated to confess our sins, unless we're perfect like Wolf, but we feel intimidated to confess our sins, and we start acting like Christians and acting spiritual instead of just being who we really are. And who we are, maybe that we are walking with God one day, but there may be another day where we're not, and we need to talk
right.
about it.
We're humans, and we're so afraid of what people are going to think about us if we don't have our life looking like it's all together. And I was one of those people because my life was anything but all together. Another thing I tried to fill up that hole was I started noticing somewhere along the line in social situations that when I'd have a glass of wine or a drink of some sort, that it would kind of take the edge off and I'd feel better. And so I'd have a second, and it made me feel as normal as I thought the people around me were, because I didn't feel anything close to normal in my life. But by the third or the fourth drink, I was making a fool of myself in public, and I didn't want anybody to think badly of me. Remember, what you think of me is all that mattered.
Well, can you tell us at least one or two of those things you did to make yourself look like a fool? Were you that one that was standing with the lampshade
standing on
the your
table,
head up on the coffee table?
Very close to it, I tell you.
I thought that was her.
I
standing next
close
to me.
To Well, the truth is by the time I was 30 years old, I believe I was a full-blown alcoholic, and I could hardly even say the word. I was so ashamed of that because I perceived alcoholism as something that was just for people who lived in the gutters and not for someone who looked as good as me, and or at least my perception of that. And so I nursed that growing problem for a long time. I took it underground, actually, and became one of the latest secrets I kept from all my good church friends. I couldn't afford for anybody to know the truth about how bad it had gotten. And then one night, I kind of reached the end of my road, and I'd been watching for weeks and months, a neighbor across the street. I kind of peek out through my curtain and look in on her life. Kind of creepy when you think about it, really, staring out through my curtains at this neighbor. But I didn't really know her, but she was one of those people that have that certain sort of undefinable something that I just knew there was something special and centered about her. I would witness her talking respectfully to her kids and lovingly to her husband. So I woke her up in the middle of the night one night when I was at the end of my road, when I thought I was about ready to die. And she said that Jesus loved me. And before that, I would have chalked it up as one of those trite things that church people say. But suddenly in that moment, I knew that she was talking about a living and a holy God, that he loved me just as I was. And that was the last night I felt a need to take a drink or a pill.
This is wonderful and moving, and I really appreciate your courage and honesty. And we want to talk more about this, but first, let's listen to your next song. What is this one?
This song is a song that's really an ode to my dad. O Come Emmanuel is a favorite Christmas traditional song that we've done in a little bit of an untraditional way on the new album.
Oh, we love untraditional ways in
Great.
The show. Okay, there's another untraditional song by Sylvia Lang.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Emmanuel.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out his online column, Forbidden Table Talk, published and hosted weekly by Communities Digital News. Bob is also a regular contributor to San Diego Rostra. We invite you to visit Bob's website at www.bobsiegel.net. You can listen to previous radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and find information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. Bobsiegel.net.
You're listening to KCBQ 1170.
Sleep, my child, and peace attend thee all through the night. Guardian angels, God will send.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel and Lori Lewis.
Oh, it is so good to hear your music. I mean, I have heard your voice all the time, and I just think it's so beautiful. But these two songs are just stunning.
Well, not only beautiful, but that version of Emmanuel was the most beautiful version I've ever heard.
Oh, thank you.
It was moving.
Really,
it was
really
incredible.
Beautiful. And
say that to all your Emmanuel singers.
we had a lady that sang about Emmanuel just last week,
didn't
we, Lori?
That's it. Well, coming from the you know, a musical perspective, you were telling me earlier we have a local musician, someone who I absolutely adore, who is on that song. Would you tell me a little bit about him?
Actually, he's more than just on that song. I have a brand new Christmas album that those songs are from called Pure Christmas, and it was produced by a local artist and producer by the name of Peter Sprague. Many of your listeners will recognize his work. He's a renowned guitarist in the jazz world and has become a good friend over the last couple of years, and he produced that album for me, and that was him playing just now on that song as well.
Well, I love this album, Pure Christmas. It has a beautiful packaging. I wish you could all see it, Radio Land. But where can we get this CD?
Thanks. Well, it's available in two places. You can reach it. You can get it on www.sylvialange.com. That's L-A-N-G-E, sylvialange.com. And for local San Diegans, it can also be picked up in the Rock Pile Bookstore at the Rock Church.
That is great. I'm so glad you gave your World Wide Web address, too, because you can find out a lot more about Sylvia. I know that you also are very involved with the World Vision.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is a great ministry.
Yes. I had an opportunity to go to Africa last fall and meet a child that my husband and I have been sponsoring. There's also information about that on the web if anybody's interested in picking up a child from AIDS and helping out, giving them a future.
That's amazing. And what is your next date in San Diego where people could see you sing live?
Oh, golly. Kept me on the spot. Well, if they go to the website, sylvialange.com, there's a calendar button where they can choose. I'm in San Diego now and then, but all over the country, really. We'll be all over the country next year.
That's the times right. when you sing in the shower don't count on that,
no,
right? This
no.
is this is like in an auditorium. Okay.
That's right. That's
I just
right.
want to. Now, Lori, I want to toot your horn a little bit because you're singing.
Yes.
Tell
yes.
us where you are singing next.
Well, New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve. Let's get through the holidays. Did I say holidays? Oops. Let's get through.
It
Christmas.
Means holy day, so that's okay.
Yes, it is a holy day, and Christmas Eve. Chuck and I will be doing Christmas choir and doing leading worship at Windsor Hills Community Church in La Mesa, and that's at 7485 Orion Road, and that's at 5:30 on Christmas Eve, so I hope you can join us there. And isn't Peter Sprague doing something to...
Peter Sprague on Christmas Eve afternoon, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, will be doing a concert in the park with several of his musician friends up in Del Mar in front of the Inn L'Auberge on their grassy knoll.
The grassy knoll.
Yes.
I am just sandwiched between talent today. This is such a humbling experience. Sylvia, what kind of response do you usually get to your concerts or when you sing in church? People writing in telling you about your albums?
I give her a standing ovation.
Oh, that's a nice
question. Right up there in front going, yay.
Well, it's kind of an experience because I always like to think of myself as more than just a singer. I have a message that I think God's asked me to give. And the response is usually quite emotional. And hopefully life-changing.
Okay, here is our third entree from Sylvia Lang. Your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com. We've been very pleased with the response we get to The Bob Siegel Show, but there is one reoccurring complaint. The Bob Siegel Show is not on every day, only once a week. Well, eventually we do hope to be on more often. In the meantime, if you really need that frequent fix, try a daily dose of the Bob Siegel blog, bobsiegel.townhall.com. A new article is written every single day, and the theme is the same as the radio show: Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. In fact, once in a while I spout off about politics and pop culture, even when it isn't related to Christianity. Go figure. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.townhall.com.
We now return to The Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to our program. This is Bob Siegel and Lori Lewis interviewing the very talented Sylvia Lang. Sylvia, we're down to just our last couple of minutes in the program. We're going to probably be right in the middle of something feisty when we have to suddenly sign off. So let me now, ahead of time, thank you so much for taking your time to join us today. You're absolutely fantastic. You have a beautiful voice. You're talented. I appreciate your honesty in talking about things like having formerly been involved with alcoholism. There's people that are listening to that, and it's ministering to them, and you're willing to put things on the line to minister to them. But I know you had something you wanted to tell us about your daughter.
And oh, it's just, the best Christmas gift that my husband and I have ever received. Last Christmas, we had just finished up our Christmas celebration and had opened up all of our Christmas gifts for each other. And when it was all done, we were cleaning up the trash, and our daughter kind of came back in the room and she said, "You know, I have another Christmas gift for you." And she said, "But I couldn't wrap this one." And she went on to tell us that she'd made a decision at the age of 26 to accept Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, and saw that as the ultimate Christmas gift to us. And it still chokes me up to think about it, because we couldn't have agreed more after years of praying for her to come around as an adult woman and decide that Jesus is the real thing, and that it's more than just a high, wonderful energy source out there, but it's truly God.
And with all your accomplishments, and you have many, many laurels to sit on, probably nothing beats that one.
Nothing beats it.
What a blessing.
How did Wolf become a Christian? Was he already a Christian when you met him?
No. Wolf was raised in Europe. He was raised in an austere, legalistic church background, and he got cancer and had his life on the line at the age of 50. And laying in a hospital room, he'd been listening to the words of his sister who'd been telling him about God for all these years. And finally, it all came and made sense to him when he realized, when it's all been said and done, he wanted to know where he was going to be forever and ever, and realized that accepting Jesus as his Savior was really the only way that he could know that for certain. And in his hospital room, he became a Christian.
And what kind of cancer did he have?
He had prostate cancer. Came through with flying colors.
He's
doing great.
So he has been healed. This happens sometimes by God using the skills of the surgeon.
Absolutely.
And I know many people who were just miraculously healed of leukemia, brain cancer. So God does these things. Everybody, let's give out your website one more time.
Certainly.
I know a lot of people are going to want to contact you.
Certainly. It's www.sylvialang.com. That's SYLVIALANGE.com.
Okay, and what are your favorite composers? What are the songs that have moved you and inspired you the most?
For Christmas?
You could start with Christmas, but in general as well?
Probably Uncle Hugh. I got to say, that song really gets, especially those new words, "Have yourself a blessed little Christmas."
Well, what kind of blessed little Christmas are you going to have? What are your plans this year?
Oh, we're going up to Lake Tahoe with my folks and brothers and sisters and nieces and
nephews.
So
you'll have a white Christmas.
We'll have a very white Christmas. Whoa. We're a little worried about that Highway 50, actually, from what we've heard.
You don't like it to be too white while you're driving on the roads. Once you get to the cabin, it can be just as white as its little heart
intends. That's right.
What are you and Chuck doing?
I was going to ask you, what are you doing, Bob?
I'm spending Christmas Eve and the day of Christmas Eve with my kids, and I'm spending Christmas Day with Nancy and her family in Pasadena.
Oh, that'll be wonderful. Well, Chuck and I, we like to have our traditional drive up to the Cuyamaca Mountains, and maybe there'll be some snow and maybe not, but we just really enjoy having that. And I just want to say Merry Christmas to you guys.
Okay.
Blessing to have you on the show.
Thanks so much again.
And we will see you next week, everybody. This is Bob Siegel, just making the obvious obvious. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to The Bob Siegel Show. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. The Bob Siegel Show was brought to you in part by the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton, helping infertile families have children. Tom Pinkerton would like to invite you to help Bob expand his radio program by donations or sponsorship. For more information about Bob's ministry, go to www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you can read Bob's articles and get information about Bob's books. That's Bob Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L.net.